We forgot to write an intro.
So we are going to improvise one.
It's me. I'm Jack Skellington.
Oh, I'm just a little boy on Christmas.
It's me, Santa Claus.
Hello, Santa.
It's me. This is
Halloween.
In a movie that came out in 1993.
Really? And what's the name of the movie?
The Nightmare Before Christmas. Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas, directed by Henry Selick.
That's incredible.
And I'm starring in I'm Santa Claus from an American stop-motion animated musical dark fantasy film.
Cool. I'm the Oogie Boogie Man.
You're my enemy.
Yeah.
Okay, and scene.
Yeah. Wow, that sucked.
Crazy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You probably forgot about us, but we're still here.
Yeah, we've just been having a really busy little bit of time here, but we're back, and we're going to get this going like clockwork again.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get this moving.
We're going to get this freak show on the road, like a carnival. Welcome to Monster Crazy. I'm Christmas Cameron.
And I'm Carnival Kai.
Yeah, a Halloween carnival specifically.
Like a spooky carnival.
Yeah. And we're back to Henry Selick very, very quickly. I didn't even really, when we spun it on the wheel, I didn't even think about it, but it's been how many? It's been like two episodes since we did Coraline.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I'm glad to be, I love The Nightmare Before Christmas. That's always been that's a foundational childhood movie for me, as I'm sure it is for a lot of people listening to this. And I think in terms of how we're going to do this episode, I'm sure this is going to end up definitely in the territory of just talking about the movie, but we're going to go through, I think, just a lot of the characters and character designs, not all of them, because, you know, some of them are, you know, not really worth devoting five or so minutes to in a podcast like this. Like, I don't know what we have to say about, the witches that live in the town.
They look like witches.
They look like witches, and they sound like them too. But there's definitely some really fun character designs going on, both major and minor characters. So I think we're just going to try and dig into it as much as we can, in kind of a general conversational episode more than a scholarly one.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's start off with our protagonist, Jack Skellington.
He is the king of Halloween.
Mm-hmm. And the Pumpkin King.
And the Pumpkin King and the King of Halloween Town. And he's very cool. It really makes sense that he has become such a pop culture. You just see him on everything. People wear clothes with him still and stuff all the time.
I think it's cool to be able to like take a skeleton, which is a normal thing. Like, I mean, that's just like a thing that looks the way it does, and be able to stylize it into a way that's like a recognizable silhouette and a recognizable character.
Yeah, super recognizable silhouette. Definitely, like, I feel like the keystone for Tim Burton, where it's like you look at this and it's like, oh yeah, that's Tim Burton, and that you can kind of see a lot of other stuff spring from this, and also a lot of stuff lead up to this, I guess, maybe would make more sense to say. But he's a skeleton. He's got a skull head. It's a circle. It's very cartoony, and he's got very long and spindly limbs. And he wears a striped black suit with a big, I don't know if it's a bow tie or like shoulders or what, but a big bow tie pasta type deal.
Yeah, it looks cool.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, cloth spikes.
Yeah,
he has a spiky look. Also, he's very like dexterous, you know, along with his spindly arms.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can like really move all over.
He moves in a really cool way. He like kind of crawls around like a spider. Like during when he's singing "What's This," he like crawls into a window and he just goes like, and just like crawls in. Like he's using like that thing where it really fucks you up when you're a human and you look at something that's using all of its limbs equally in the same way, and you're like, oh, that's not how I do it.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah, like he moves in a very creepy way.
I think it would be fun to be able to move like Jack Skellington.
Yeah, I think so too. a lot of the Nightmare Before Christmas aesthetic was inspired by like Edward Gorey, famous cartoonist slash artist, Charles Adams, the guy who did the Adams Family, and Ronald Searle. And I think Jack Skellington is one of the places you can really, really see that come through. Just the striped suit, the really thin limbs. It's very Tim Burton, of course, which I think is maybe the more recognizable touchstone for people nowadays. But I think Tim Burton owes a lot to like Edward Gorey, and you can really see it come through here, especially with the like striped suit. It feels very gory to me. Which fun fact about the striped suit, his suit was originally completely black, but they added stripes because it was just hard to make a pure black thin thing like read on camera and look that like tracks. It was there. So you need to make lines on it so you can actually see it.
Other than like when Jack Skellington's in Christmas world or whatever, a lot of the backdrops of the movie are really dark.
Yeah.
So like you kind of need that to have him pop.
Totally. The other really kind of unique thing about his design, which it turns out I wrote this down when I was rewatching the movie, but I guess it was a whole thing, is that he has no eyes. I really like that he has no eyes because, especially in like a kid's movie, I don't think they're usually going to let you make a character without eyes because the eyes are, that's how you make a character emotive and that's how you relate to them. So specifically a protagonist, a main character with no eyes is kind of crazy. And it turns out there was, I guess, a studio fight where Disney was like, you need to give this guy eyes. And Tim Burton was like, no, I'm not going to. But he's still
happy
so
he won
emotive.
That fight.
Yeah, it's really impressive.
Yeah, he's impressive. Really
emotive. And I have a quote that when Tim Burton purposely gave Jack Skellington no eyes to go against the grain. And he said, that's why I loved it. I used to torture Disney by saying, it's great. There's the first character with no eyeballs. Then they'd get all paranoid. That's what he said.
What does that mean?
I don't know what it means.
The people at Disney would get paranoid thinking that Tim Burton was starting a revolution of no eyeball characters.
I guess, yeah. No, I think they were just really, convinced this movie was going to be a complete flop and ruin their reputation. Because, you know, Disney's very protective, especially of their kids stuff.
Yeah.
So this was, I think, very contentious movie, but it's really cool that it got made in the way that it did.
I gotta say, this movie was like formative for me as well. Like I watched this a ton as a kid, and I guess I can see why some people, I don't know, the story that's happening is basically like cute and nice, but like it is aesthetically, a lot of the fuckers in here are some real freak fuckers that if I were a parent, I could see like the legitimacy of being like, I don't really want my kid watching that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's there's some that are pretty nasty and goopy. Some of the minor characters specifically, I think, are kind of like gross in a way that you don't usually get. Even nowadays, I feel like when it's a lot more kind of, we're a little, we're not really, I can't in good conscience say we're past like Satanic Panic or anything like that because we're clearly not, but I think it is a lot more accepted for children's media to have some gross and scary stuff. But some of the stuff in here, not that it's super scary, but there is some stuff where it's like, oh, that is like really gross. Like, I don't think that you would really see that maybe.
Yeah. Well, I'll ask this later, but just be thinking about it just so that you can have an answer later.
Uh-huh.
Which one of the Halloween Town residents, you know, Maine or not, do you think is like the straight up spookiest looking? And we don't answer that now because we'll be talking about it.
Okay.
But
I'll be thinking of it. But yeah, the other thing about Jack Skellington that I like is he's very, like we said, he's super emotive without having eyes. But and part of that is that he has a huge mouth that he really moves and contorts all around, and he can kind of pull out his mouth and do scary faces. And I really like that. Well, it looks great in stop motion, which you have to imagine it's so, like, they must have, when you think of how stop motion works with faces, it's like they build separate faces for different expressions and stuff. So I think they built like hundreds of, you know, switch outable heads for Jack Skellington just because of how many expressions he had. But I love that he can like stretch out his mouth, and he has such a big mouth like as a skeleton. That's really fun.
Yeah,
that he can like, because a skull can't do that. So it's very fun. No. That he can do that. He can go,
but he still reads as a skeleton though.
Yeah, it's really great. He also, the thin limbs are a big struggle for stop motion too. Originally in the concept art, he had even thinner like legs and arms, and they were like, we literally can't build an armature that works with this. Like he had to be like tied down to the set when they were doing the stop motion stuff and such. But which is pretty interesting to me, that like Tim Burton was like, we need them to be really thin and spindly. And the people were like, we're going to try, but like, you have to know this is really not possible.
They're pretty thin and spindly. Honestly, if they were more thin and spindly, I don't even know that I would like how it would look. I think that they're a good balance.
Yeah. All right. Do we want to move forward?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Next up, we got Sally.
Yeah. Now, Sally, she is a ragdoll kind of Bride of Frankenstein type deal. And I always thought, I was always really made very uncomfortable as a kid by the scene where her arm comes off and it's filled with leaves. That's the thing that's stuck with me about this character, I think, since childhood. Just the image of the stitches of an arm coming apart. And it's like hollow. It's really, really gross. Really grossed me out as a kid.
She's kind of freaky.
Yeah, she is. But she's a Disney princess.
Yeah.
No, all the stitches are definitely something where it's like, that definitely feels like something Disney would go against. You know, having a character that's like, because a stitch is a very gruesome thing. Really, I feel like it's very. It's very trivialized in cartoons and stuff where it's just a line with little crosses. You know, you'll see it on like a Frankenstein drawing and you'll be like, whoa, it's a stitch. I know what that is. But when you see it in 3D, like in physical space, you can really tell that it's like, oh, these are two pieces of skin that are like sewn together. And it makes it just have a lot bigger impact, I feel.
And you can see it in the movie on her. Like the stitches are three-dimensional.
Yeah. I like that her clothes are stitched together too. That's very fun.
Yeah,
like her dress is all different, different things all patched together.
She's a really solid design overall.
Yeah. I don't have all that much to say about her, but she just is very solid as a visual design for certain.
She reminds me of Shelley Duvall.
Yeah, totally. I could see that.
Just eyes the size of, you know, saucers and tall and thin.
Yeah, and stitches all over her body.
But yeah, she's a really... Yeah, she's blue and she's... Yeah. Her arm falls off, she put it back together. She's a good design, but I also not a ton to say about her.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and she was created by Dr. Finkelstein. Keep that in mind.
Yeah, keep that in mind.
That's going to matter later. Later being, oh no, not yet. Next is Oogie Boogie.
Yeah, I think Oogie Boogie to me is the design king of
yeah, is the obvious standout.
Yeah, Oogie Boogie fucking movie. Kicks.
Yeah, Oogie Boogie is so sick. Just a sack man filled with bugs.
Yeah,
green.
And he is the bugs.
They put, well, so here's something. You think he is the bugs, right? Everyone would think he is the bugs. But here's something I noticed this time. When he gets unraveled and the bugs all fall out and stuff, what he yells is, my bugs, which implies that he's not the bugs. The bugs are just something he has. Because, like, I feel like if you were, like, you know, maybe if you were weird, if you were getting, like,
well, if you started screaming, my guts.
I guess, like, yeah. But it's like, I feel like it's like that they're just a part of him. Like, it's not like he's like bugs and he's wearing a thing as it is. Like, I think they're his guts more than they are him, I guess is what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, I had always thought of it like, oh, he's a bunch of bugs wearing a suit. But I think that the suit is his skin as much as skin is his skin.
I think definitely, like, well, and the suit that he's wearing is a like a potato sack.
Yeah.
But like, so I guess there's different ways to view what he is. What if he is bugs and the bugs is hive mind?
Yeah. Well, that's what I always thought, but I'm saying this time around, I maybe thought that, oh, maybe there's something different or there's something weirder going on here.
Like he's like basically just like a soul that is using a lot of bugs as like
Or just like that's just what he is. Like he's just his guts are bugs. like, and he is, sure. That's what he is. I don't know. He's a sure, boogeyman that makes when sense. That happens to be how the inside of his body works. I don't know.
That makes sense. There's a lot of ways to read him, but I love the idea. I mean, also, I like that there's nothing else but bugs. He's just a, the ingredients for Oogie Boogeyman is sack and bugs, which yeah. is like just two things. And they managed to make him like a really, really cool design. I really like totally. It when he's like taunting Santa, when he's singing, yeah. and there's just like little bits of like seam opening and like a spider crawling out here or there. Like, you know,
yeah,
they like tease that he's full of bugs, but you don't know how much bugs he is.
Yeah, he. I also like his. I mean, his thing is that he's a boogeyman and he's bugs. But also, what I really like is his thing is also for some reason gambling.
Yeah,
and it doesn't really. It's a nice little like. I wrote this down. Like, it's hard to explain, but I feel he feels a lot. He feels very. The design feels very Japanese to me, where it feels a lot like a tokusatsu monster, like some super Sentai. Crazy monster from the 90s or something, where I love looking at the concept art of those, but it's always like, it's like, this is a monster and his theme is cars but also eyeballs, and then it's like, well, okay, sure. I don't know how those things are together, but you blended them in a way that's really sick. And I feel like just like even though the way he looks feels like something that, you know, maybe not the Power Rangers but some other group might fight in a Sentai TV show or something.
It's so crazy that he's bugs and sacks and scary, and that's his main visual components, and then he has the gambling and the dice there, and it you like don't really question it.
Yeah, you're just like, oh yeah, like, he's a gambling boogeyman.
Yeah, that's the gambling boogeyman.
Yeah,
like it just works so well, and it also works really well when everything kind of goes like blacklight.
Yeah, the blacklight's so sick.
It's so cool, but it also, like, when that highlights kind of, like, all of the other, like, it highlights his decor in sort of, like, a neon Vegas kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know, I think there's something cool about a villain who, like, has an element of chance in how he deals his terror, except it's, you know, it's cheated chance. Like, you know, he's a cheater, too.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah, he's great. I mean, truly just even just as a sack man, even before you get to the bugs, he's almost a perfect design to me. Like, that's entirely my shit.
He looks great. And also, I like that his tongue is a snake.
Yeah, he is so tight. He's inspired by this old Betty Boop cartoon, The Old Man of the Mountain, which is, if you watch it, the music sounds very, very similar. So Danny Elfman was inspired by Cab Calloway's music for this Betty Boop short, and the Betty Boop short, I was just watching part of it before this, and it has the line, Betty Boop goes like, what are you gonna do now? And this evil old man says, I'm gonna do the best I can, and then it's like, wow, wow. Like, it's just very clearly inspired. So I feel like that's also maybe where the gambling thing comes from, is it's like a, you know, a 30s like style cartoon.
He's like a highwayman.
Yeah,
I like when he, like, I also just like the way that he talks. Like, he's like, look at you, bone man.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he talks cool.
He's also, he's lecherous. He sees Sally's leg and he gets baited over to be like, oh, hey, and is like kissing up on this leg. Like, he's like vices. He has vices.
Yeah.
You know, he's a gambler. He likes women. He likes music. And bugs.
Damn, Cameron, we're going to jail.
Because
you just listed all of my favorite things.
Yeah.
For girls. Ugh.
He is really so, so crazy and so cool. And I love that he's like teased the whole movie too. Like, he's the main antagonist, but it's like Jack Skellington's like, and you keep Oogie Boogie out of this. And they're like, oh, we will. And they're crossing their fingers. And you're like, oh, shit. They're going to do something with Oogie Boogie.
Also, Oogie Boogie is like a resident of Halloween Town. Like, what's his place in the society of this world?
I'm glad you asked. I have a piece of lore that I think you'll find very fascinating that I found on the Nightmare Before Christmas wiki page. I'm going to read you a quote from the Nightmare Before Christmas wikia. Here, listen to this. He is also said to have been the king of his own holiday, Bug Day, which he ended up ruining somehow, resulting in him moving to Halloween Town, a plot detailed in The Nightmare Before Christmas, The Pumpkin King, for the Game Boy Advance.
Okay, so he had
so he
his
used
own
to have
holiday
a holiday called
was...
Bug Day, and he ruined it.
He fucked up
Bug Day?
He's
like, I guess I'm a Halloween guy now. How do you fuck up Bug Day? I feel like...
Yeah, how do you fuck up Bug Day if you are a sack
for
of
Bug
bugs?
Day, yeah.
Yeah.
He put too much gambling in it, I guess.
So, I'm reading here, you know the bug that is screaming, my bugs, my bugs!
Yeah.
And then Santa squishes it.
Yeah.
On this article, they refer to that as the lead bug.
Interesting.
But I think it's that's also just the language that whoever wrote this article decided to use. I think Oogie Boogeyman and what he is can really be like...
I think it's pretty open for interpretation. I think Oogie Boogie is such a good name, too, instead of just the Boogeyman.
Mm-hmm.
Oogie Boogie.
And it also, Oogie Boogie has a little bit of like... It has a little bit of swagger to it, which the character himself does have.
Yeah,
like, cause, you know, he talks cool. He sings. He, like, you know, he has some flair. Yeah. Like, and Oogie Boogie is like a little, like, it fits what he is really well.
Totally. Yeah, he's so good. He fits so well into the movie too. It's just great. He's just a great design. I mean, I don't really want to rate every single one of these because we'd just be here forever and it would just be too arbitrary. But he's an easy 10 out of 10 for me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's the clear like standout, I would say, from this. And I feel like almost everybody who watches this movie will leave thinking the same thing. Because he really does have that swag.
In the same way that Jack Skellington doesn't have pupils but is able to be incredibly expressive, Oogie Boogie also has an almost featureless face and is still able to be like wildly expressive.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
But yeah, I think it's basically all downhill from here as far as design. Oogie Boogie we maybe should have saved him for last. I think he's the cream of the crop. But
yeah, that's okay. There's still a lot of really interesting stuff, I feel like, going on, even if it's not, you know, the creme de la creme. I think there's some really fascinating stuff going on. Next up on our list here is Dr. Finkelstein. And he is the kind of Dr. Frankenstein analog. He is kind of this weird duck monster thing. And he is in a wheelchair. He's wheelchair bound and he has kind of a metal dome head that's screwed onto his head that exposes his brain. And he's got these little dark glasses.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's kind of just like a Tim Burtonized mad scientist.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I like his head, his metal head. It's pretty gross. It's pretty cool and nasty. I like that, like, it's the same color as his skin too. So it's not like, you know, he has his weird bluish clammy skin and then like a silver metal dome on his head. Like it all like it almost reads as like, oh, he's like he got metal that was the same color as his skin because he's kind of like embarrassed. Like he wouldn't want people to be like, oh, he has a metal head almost. I don't know. It's he's fun.
He does have so he's pretty duck-like, but he does have a little nose.
Yeah. Yeah. He has little nose. I guess he just has kind of like a duck bill. Like he's not really a duck.
Yeah. He's really more just like a guy, but he's like a guy who has such fucked up proportions that he looks
also,
like a duck monster.
He has teeth inside his duck bill too, which he has really unpleasant teeth. He has little peg teeth. Mm. He's got freaking Bobby Peru teeth from Wild at Heart.
I remember when I was watching this movie when I was little, he was one of the characters that unsettled me the most because of the way that his mouth moved.
Yeah.
I remember when I first watched that, I kind of remember being like, what is that thing?
Yeah, he's pretty gnarly and nasty. I remember being grossed out by the way he drinks the soup when he goes like, and just like drinks a huge bowl of soup. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of gross. Yeah, he's, I feel like also what makes you feel really uncomfortable when you look at him is he's got this big, giant, heavy head that's got metal on the top, and he's got this like tiny ass neck, like this little scrawny Tim Burton neck. And I feel like look at it and you just like feel like, oh, my neck hurts just looking at that. Like, that's just not, that ain't right.
Yeah, totally. He's pretty cool.
Yeah, and he makes a bunch of creations. He made Sally. He makes the reindeer. So he's like a mad scientist guy, but he's mean.
Is he mean? I thought he was a good guy.
He's mean to Sally.
No. Yeah, he is mean to Sally because he feels like he owns her.
Yeah.
Yeah, never mind. He sucks. When I looked at I looked up pictures of Dr. Finkelstein, and a lot of it is like pictures of Dr. Finkelstein, and some of it is like Michael B. Finkelstein, MD at White Plains Hospital. And he doesn't look exactly the same way as Dr. Finkelstein does.
Yeah, I would be pretty sad if that was what came up when you Googled my name. I was a doctor. Was
this. You're a doctor. This horrible little duck doctor is what went. Yeah, Dr. Finkelstein sucks. I mean, he's a cool design, but like,
yeah, what, he's kind of like, I'm also kind of getting a little bit like Dr. Strangelove vibes too.
Mm-hmm.
Which I would imagine would probably be on purpose, with the dark glasses, the wheelchair, the gloves.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought about that before until right now, but I bet that
totally works.
That's what it is. All right, let's see who's next here. The mayor.
I love the mayor.
The mayor is very cool. I guess just to describe him off the bat, he's got kind of like a pyramid-ish or like a cone-shaped body. Mm-hmm. He has a big, tall hat. He's really short. And of course, the thing that everybody knows about him, the main thing, he has two faces. He has one on each side. One's happy and one is sad, and they spin around based on his emotion.
Yeah.
Yeah, what I like...
I think he's great.
I think he's really great. I like that they, on his faces, they have kind of like boxes and around his eyes and mouth as if they're switch outable, which I think is literally... I think that might literally be where they switch out for like expressions for animating. I like that they didn't really disguise that. It makes him look like a toy because he moves like a toy when his head spins around. Yeah. I love the two different sides. They're so cool. I love that the happy side isn't like normal. It has like fucked up weird eyes and scary teeth. Like, mm-hmm. It's not like he has a normal side and a scary side. He just has two weird sides.
Yeah, he has a fucked up happy side and a fucked up sad side.
Yeah. His sad side, I feel like, is pretty clearly Pazuzu or Captain Howdy from The Exorcist. That like subliminal face that flashes on the screen for a minute. And The Exorcist, it looks very, very similar. I would imagine that that's why it looks like that. He's got like, yeah, he's like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type deal. It's just, yeah, great.
Also, I like that like he is totally a monster. He also is like shaped like a mayor. He has like a little politician body, and like he's literally two-faced.
Yeah.
He's dressed like a, you know, he's like a cartoon government, you know, politician type, but really, really, really successfully cartoonized in this way.
Yeah.
I think he's awesome.
He is great.
I think the mayor of Halloween Town is actually, like, I don't like him as much as Oogie Boogie, but I think he's probably not a 10. I think I'd give the mayor of Halloween Town a 9 out of 10 spinning heads.
Yeah, I probably would go lower than that, but I do think it's a really successful design that really just communicates and what is going on with him, and I think it's just like, it's just fun, even beyond, you know, being functional. It's just like, oh, you see it, and you're like, oh, there's flair here, there's style, there's something fun going on. And here's a fact about him from the Nightmare Before Christmas Wikia wiki page. I'll read this quote here about him. This, you might not know this about him. He seems overzealous and incompetent as he tried bothering Jack on November 1st, the day after Halloween. They had an entire year to plan, plus everyone would still be drained from the previous night. And that was in the trivia section about the mayor.
That doesn't sound like trivia.
No, an interesting fact about him that I just learned. All right, who's up next here?
We got Lock, Shock, and Barrel. All
right, these are the three fucking brats, the nasties.
Mm-hmm. I like Lock, Shock, and Barrel.
Yeah, so they're kids in Halloween costumes, which is so fun to put to have that be a Halloween town denizen, because it, like, nobody else really here is a normal human, and you see them first, they're wearing their masks, which, you know, visual, it's a devil, a witch, and a skeleton, I think, respectively. I can't remember which one's Locke and which one's Shock, but Barrel is the skeleton. And you see them with the masks, and you're like, oh, what kind of monsters are these? And then, you know, they take off the masks, and it's like, oh, they're annoying kids.
It's funny that these annoying kids live in a world of monsters.
Yeah.
And they're brats about it.
Yeah. Which they also, I mean, they look a little different. They're a little more stylized and different looking than the actual kids when they go to the real world. So it's like, maybe they are different. Maybe they're more something more supernatural, but I really like them just being like nasty kids who just suck so bad that they're Halloween monsters.
Halloween Town is supposed to be, like, you know, the holiday town representation of an entire holiday. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think that they aren't probably really... I don't think they are real kids. You know, they're yeah. like... They're like a... You know, I'm struggling for the word here, but a representation of kids going out in costumes. So there's something a little bit different about them. Like, I think... I'm pretty sure when I was watching for Locke's tail... Because he has a devil's tail.
Uh-huh.
And his tail is real.
Oh, okay. But
his, like, he moves his tail around at one point. So, like, I think that, like... I think his devil mask is a costume. But, mm-hmm. like, if this little devil mask kid in perpetuity has a costume on and a real tail, I think that they're kind of something else.
Totally. Yeah,
which is sort of freaky. A kid, like a monster that is a child in permanent costume, and part of its identity is that it's a child in costume, is a cool idea.
Yeah, it reminds me. It's like a kid in a mask who is behaving not right is so creepy. It's like fucking what is it? Wicker Man kind of.
Mm-hmm.
I really like visually that their faces are shaped like their masks, like yeah. when the devil, which is the devil kid, Locke or Shock?
Locke is the devil.
When Locke takes off his mask, like where the horns are, he has little like hair parts of his hair that stick up, like that go exactly where the horns go, which is just very fun. I also like that they have a clawfoot bathtub that walks around. Yeah. I think that's awesome. Oh, here's something else I wrote down. When I was thinking about, like, you know, are they kids or are they something else? One other visual design of them is that their skin is very pale and their lips are blue. So are they like dead kids, maybe? Like they're kids that, like, and they also get in a bathtub, you know? Maybe they drown, their lips turn blue.
I feel like they're dead kids.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether or not they died in the bathtub, now that you say that, those are totally dead kids. And also, we know that this movie is not above dead kids.
Yeah.
Because there's another one.
Yeah, it's very like, you know, I'm not sure that it matters that much, but it's just a fun, it's one of those fun, it's like almost like a fan theory detail of like, yeah, their lips are blue and they got in a bathtub, so maybe they drowned, but I feel like it's a fun thing to look at. I don't know.
Totally.
Yeah. Who next?
Wait, hello?
Oh.
Shit.
My
recording's still going, but Discord has crashed for me.
Hello?
Okay, I'm back. Sorry. My recording didn't stop, but Discord crashed.
Okay, no worries.
I'm sorry about that.
That should be fine. Let me just write down the time that it happened. But you go ahead and say whatever's next.
Well, next up is Santa Claus.
Does he count...
No, he doesn't. Next
Fuck
up is
Santa
Zero.
Claus. That's right.
Fuck Santa. We're taking a stand.
Zero. Okay. Zero is his ghost dog.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody didn't know. And what I like about Zero visually is that Zero, while he's a ghost dog, so he's like, you know how a ghost is a person wearing a sheet. He's a dog wearing a sheet. supposedly. But what I like about him is that he's not really a dog wearing a sheet. Like, in the movie, like, a lot of, if you look up art of him, it'll look like the sheet is kind of draped over a dog's body. But in the movie, he's kind of just a flat sheet that flies around and has a dog head on it. Like, the sheet is never really draped over anything, and it doesn't really take the shape of anything. Like, it's just kind of flat and billowy. And I think that's so cool that it's like, you know, because they never are like, oh, he's a ghost dog. So I think he's like, I think he's a sheet. I think he's more of a sheet monster.
He's a magic sheet.
Yeah, that's how I look at him. I feel like that's so fun. That's such a fun thing to have. It's just a sheet with a head.
I think he's cute, but I don't have a lot to say about Zero.
I like his long-ass ears. I don't like his nose. It's too convenient.
He doesn't need a Rudolph.
It's too... It's pedantic and annoying because whatever, obviously, but it's like, come on. The nose, tell from the second that that nose is on screen, they're like, okay, that's a Christmas nose. Like, that's there because we're going to have a Christmas thing in this movie. Like, it's not like, oh my God, wait, we can use that for Christmas all along. It's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, I don't know, which is probably a stupid thing to criticize, but it does kind of annoy me. But yeah, I agree. I don't have too much to say about Zero besides him being a flat sheet, which I think is very cute and fun.
Nah, I don't have anything else to say about Zero. He's aight.
He's aight. All right, which brings us to the minor residents.
We have bats. Pretty good.
I feel like Next up, we can jump around on this.
Yeah, sure.
And go to whichever one we wanted to talk about.
I did want to bring up the cat for a second. I saw, you know, there's a black cat, and it looked almost identical. Like, the way that they animate the cats in this are identical to how the cat in Coraline is animated. Like, it's the same proportions.
It makes sense. Same guy did it. Behemoth is the big fat guy with the overalls with the axe in his head.
Yeah.
And what I like about him, first of all, I like the name Behemoth. And I like that I was looking at concept art for him, and he originally, before he had an axe in his head, there's a bunch of concept art of him with a bunch of different garden tools in his head. Like, just like, there's one picture of him with like a trowel in his head, one with like a shovel, like a hoe or a rake, there's one where he had like a garden hose through his head. There's one where he had a boot in his head. Like, there was a, but like, they went for the most obvious basic one with axe in the head, but like, there was a point where maybe he was going to have something really weird lodged into his head, which I think is very fun.
That would have been cool.
I kind of wish that they would have done that.
He looks like a big gardener, so I feel like a garden thing in his head would have been cool.
He's kind of a little folk horror, folk Leatherface-esque vibe, maybe, type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently he was based on Thor Jorgensen, I don't know, who is an actor in Plan 9 from Outer Space, and I think other Ed Wood movies, which makes sense because we know Tim Burton's a big Ed Wood fan, which is fun. That's just a fun little reference. But that's all I have on Behemoth.
I think he's pretty cool.
I think he is pretty cool.
I'm a really big sucker for kind of like big, strong guy that looks like spooky and vacant in the face.
Yeah. I also think, like I was saying about Jack Skellington feeling like the most Edward Gorey representative, I feel like Behemoth definitely feels like a thing, the guy that could have completely leapt off the pages of Charles Adams. Like, he totally feels like Fester Adams or something.
Totally. We have the clown with the tearaway face.
Yeah. Which is is weird.
He is weird, but he's pretty cool.
He is cool. I just like, how did they arrive at that concept? The clown with the tearaway face. What does it mean? It's so strange. I don't know.
It's so strange, but I think he's really spooky that when he takes his face away, there's just a void in there that talks deep.
Yeah. I feel it feels like they wrote a song lyric and then they made the character around him almost. And I'm like, what is... I don't know. It's a very strange... I really was wondering if it was based on something or something, but I think it's just a cool and fun idea.
I think so too. Yeah. I think he just probably arrived out of people trying to think of some monsters.
Yeah.
Also, I like that it's not like he doesn't have a skull under there. He doesn't have spooky eyes in there. Like, leaving just a void inside of there. Love it. Spooky.
Yeah.
and like weirder than they could have gone, which I like.
Totally. Really briefly, there's the corpse family, and you were talking mm-hmm. about who's the scariest.
It's the corpse kid.
Yeah, I wouldn't. He's definitely the grossest. He's the one where I watch and I'm like, this shouldn't be in a kid's movie. That's the main one where I'm like, so, this is a little too far.
That's actually also my answer and the one that I had in mind at first when I was talking to you.
He's so gross.
He looks like a maggot, but like a human maggot.
Yeah, he's really. He's so gross. He's like, he's on a leash too. Like it's just. He's really.
He's the worst.
Nasty. He's got the sewed shut eyes.
Sewed shut and swollen eyes.
Yeah, he's just. I agree. He is totally the nastiest. I don't really have anything to say about him besides just like he's gross.
I will say I think like I'm gonna give him some points. Like I think that the corpse kid's like a 7 out of 10 rotting child bodies just because he like provokes something in me. Like I feel disgusted when I look at that.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely feel grossed out. I don't think there's a lot to talk about, but I'm not, doesn't mean it's bad, but they're just, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also him going like, la, 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 la. Like I hate it, you know, fuck him. But great design.
Yeah. Who do you want to go
creature
to
under
next?
The creature under the bed doesn't count. I don't know. Let's see.
Creature under the stairs is kind of weird. He's got the snakes and the spider hair. I don't really think he really works for me that well. I don't care for him that much, but I do. I always, as a kid, was like, what is going on there? I mean, like, even as I was like, that's too much. His fingers like snakes and spiders in my hair. You're trying too hard. It's not scary. It's just weird.
I think he fits for what like it was supposed to be. Like, you know, just like a booga 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 booga. Like,
yeah.
I got fingers for snakes, but like he doesn't look cool.
No, yeah.
The Harlequin demon
is
cool.
The Harlequin demon is cool and so weird.
Yeah.
Such a definitely all the other stuff is like, okay, it's like, all right, we got witches, we got a devil, we got vampires, we got a mummy. But then you see the Harlequin demon and it's always like, what the fuck is that? Why is that here? Like,
it's
not,
awesome. So
not even a bad thing, but it just does not look like a Halloween thing at all.
No, it looks like an alien.
Yeah, any other character in Halloween Town, you'd like be able to look at it and be like, that's from Halloween. That's a Halloween monster. But this, you just be like, yeah, what? That's not. That's just a monster. What is it?
But we should explain what it is really quickly. Because I don't know that anyone would.
Yeah,
know
definitely.
That
I didn't know
called.
What the name of it was before I looked it up today.
Yeah, but basically, it's the one. It's like kind of plump. It looks like it sort of has like green and orange feathers on its like torso,
mm-hmm.
And it has little frog hands and yellow pupilless eyes.
And it's got like
the real
tentacles on its head.
Yeah, and three striped tentacles on its head. But the real thing that it has going for it from a design perspective is it doesn't have like a normal hinged jaw. It has its lower jaw goes a full 360 around the base of its neck with sharp, you know, shark-like teeth around it. And then the top half of its jaw, it like with the rest of the head, is secured through the center.
Yeah, it's like a
has
stem.
Teeth going, yeah, it's like a stem going through the center. Like almost like he's wearing like a hood, like a toothed hood. And then it's hard to explain, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I would just say it, the upper and lower jaws are not attached except at the very center by a stem. And it's a three. Yeah, I mean, basically say what you said, I think. I feel like that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, he's cool.
It's a really good mouth. I feel like it's a mouth that every kid who likes drawing scary stuff lands on that. Like, whoa, what if the mouth goes all the way around? And then it always gets to like, wait a second. How is it connected? And then you put the thing in the middle and you're like, I guess. And it's very mm-hmm. fun to see it in 3D realized. Because I feel like I've probably as like a, you know, a 7-year-old or whatever, I probably drew a bunch of stuff that looked like this.
Yeah,
it's fun
totally.
To see it sculpted in clay. I also like that the lower jaw is wider than the upper jaw.
Yeah.
That's really fun. So it's not like the mouth even actually closes when it closes. Like, cause the
it better not rain, or this guy's gonna fucking drown.
Yeah, he's gonna fill up. Yeah, yeah. Like even when he's fully closed his mouth, it protrudes. He has an underbite. He has an underbite on all sides, so there's never any actual seal on his mouth when he closes it. And he looks, of course, like a harlequin, like a jester, which is where the name comes from, I assume. Those like kind of tentacles on his head look like those things, that jester hat, classic jester hat that has the bells on the end. But yeah, I think he's a cool little design, but he doesn't feel Halloween-y at all to me.
I think the way he feels Halloween-y is in the way that we described that, like, every little kid would maybe accidentally draw this, and he feels like he's leapt off the pages of, like, a Monster Inclined 7-year-old and into a movie. And I think, I mean, Halloween's all about monsters.
Yeah.
Even if he's not stereotypical. I don't know. I think he works. I like him. And I like that he's weird. I think it's good to have a few weird ones.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's a bad thing he's in there. I just think that on his own, I would never peg him as a Halloween guy.
Yeah.
All right, the next one I think that's notable is Melting Man. I fucking love the Melting Man. Any mud monster or melting guy is so swag to me. I love it. I think the decision to take he's a melting guy. That's pretty much you get the idea. That's visual description.
Yeah.
He looks like he's made of mud, but the ultimate swag thing that they've done here is he's a melting guy. You see his head like brown and melting like it's made out of mud, and they put him in a fucking white suit. How sick is that? It's so cool. A spotless white suit and then a tiny little melting, disgusting, sticky head coming out of it.
Does he ever
magic.
Make noise?
I think so. Maybe. Maybe he doesn't. I'm thinking of when, like, Jack Skellington puts his hand on his head and it gets stuck. I think maybe you're right that he doesn't actually make any noise at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, he also kind of has Eraserhead baby vibes a little bit.
He does. Too little head.
Yeah. But yeah, no, the white suit is so good. I really, that's like a perfect design to me.
He kind of looks like an anorexic Zoidberg a little bit.
Yeah, he's so cool. I love him. I wish he got a little more screen time.
And had like a garbled voice.
I like him being completely silent. If he is completely silent, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if he is. So
we've also do you have anything else to say about Melting Man?
No.
I think there's not a ton of other ones that I'm super interested in. But I liked the withered winged demon, which is basically just like a little demon baby. But what I like about it is it walks around. It has like little arms and legs and like a kind of like a baby body, but it walks around on like the tips of its really long withered wings, which is cool.
Let me see. I think the only other, let me go through real quick and check. I like that the Wolfman looks like a rat. That's really, I love that. I think that's fun. I don't even think it's necessarily intentional, but I always like a big rat. And I also, the only other one that I would really want to talk about is I really, really love the Mr. Hyde, who's the nesting hat guys, where he's like a nasty guy, and then he takes off his hat, and there's a smaller version of him, and then that one takes off its hat, and there's just another smaller version, and they're like each other's hats. I think that's such a fun design that's so great and goofy. And then also, just as a cherry on top, I think he's pretty clearly based on Lon Chaney from London After Midnight, which is a lost movie that I believe was directed by Todd Browning. Yeah, Todd Browning. But this is like a lost movie from the 20s. From 1927. Old silent movie with Lon Chaney, who I think is one of the sickest actors, and it's very great to see a pretty clear reference to him in this, especially from a movie that doesn't exist.
But I'm looking at pictures of it, and that's crazy.
Which it sucks so bad that this movie is lost, because Lon Chaney is probably one of my favorite actors, and just seeing the pictures of him, because there's like, you can watch, like they have recovered some of it where it's like you can watch it, quote unquote, but it's like a slideshow. Like they just have like frames that they've recovered, and like,
how do you lose a movie?
It's really easy. You know, film is very fragile. It's super flammable. It degrades. You know, people also didn't really care that much. They didn't think about preservation. So you'd make a movie and it would, you know, rot in some studio's vault forever, because they're like, you know, what are we going to do with this? You know, maybe you, maybe the only, all the print, maybe your prints are in a warehouse, the warehouse catches fire, and all the film just goes up, because that's what film does. Like a huge amount of movies are lost. But, you know, also on the flip side, it's pretty crazy how sometimes this stuff can just like also pop up. Like, you know, something's been lost for 80 years or whatever, and someone's like, oh yeah, I have this in my basement, by the way.
That's
crazy.
Then
suddenly it exists again.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really tragically easy for stuff like that to get completely lost. Because, yeah, there's a, as like, it's really crazy to kind of delve into that kind of world. There's like, you know, old there's a bunch of old TV shows where it's like, oh yeah, this doesn't exist anymore because nobody, we didn't think anybody, like, you know, there's no such thing as home video, right? When TV is starting out and taking off. So it's like, we're not, well, maybe we'll record this to tape and throw it away, or maybe we won't even record it. We'll just like put it, do it live, and then whatever. And it's just gone. No one can ever see it again. Just crazy.
That sucks. That's so sad.
But that's anyway, that has nothing to do with this.
on a different note, back to Lock, Shock, and Barrel for a second.
Uh-huh.
I'm not watching the video, but there's a video from December 20th, 2020, called How Lock, Shock, and Barrel's Origins Changed the Nightmare Before Christmas. And just looking at the thumbnails of the video, it looks like this person is fan theorizing that the Oogie Boogie took them in a sack. But I feel, and it also, like, one of the thumbnails just has a picture of Shock, and it says, "What are they?" in really big letters over it.
Yeah, that does seem like an area of the movie that's ripe for fan theories.
Oh, yeah, totally. All right, well, I don't know. I don't think I have a ton else to say about the citizens of you know, Halloween Town.
Yeah. I have one more thing to say about Halloween Town.
Do it.
The toys, I don't care that much about most of the toys. I don't think they're that interesting. I like the rubber duck that's been shot a bunch. I think that's fun and goofy. But what the one of the things that freaked me out the most, I really, really hated the giant snake that like swallows all the presents and shit. Mm-hmm. That thing really creeped me out. I think I was just really scared. I think I learned about snakes at some point, and I was like, oh, they like swallow stuff and they just like don't chew it. They just digest it in their body. And that always freaked me out really bad. So to see a big, like, the kids walking into the room and the snake is, like, eating the Christmas tree or whatever it's eating, that always, like, really made me viscerally uncomfortable. And it still kind of does. I don't like its eyes. I don't like the way it's not right.
It rubs you the wrong way.
That thing ain't right.
Just like how right Oogie Boogie Man is, who I think is the real star of the show.
Yeah, he is absolutely the
real star. I
think it's
just he's got the sauce. I think he has like his design is really cool, but and then the random elements that they threw in with him just like work because of some X factor that I don't understand, but Oogie Boogie has the fucking the sauce.
Totally. I'm looking up pictures of the present eating snake, and I still really don't like him, and I'm seeing a few pictures here that make me realize that I think that this snake, I bet you that this snake was a bunch of people's turning point for being into vor, and I think I probably had the diverging path, and my body was like, no, we hate this, and I feel like probably a lot of, maybe a small percentage of kids saw that and were like, this is going to change my life forever.
they just watch this, and they blink, and are just like, swallowing.
Yeah, god, it's so terrible. There's like a gif of it, like the snake like swallowing the Christmas tree, and it just, there's its eyes are just completely like dead, like it's not even looking at anything. It's just
actually
looking out into the distance while it swallows
the fact
everything
that it's like kind of a very cartoony snake somehow does make it freakier. Actually,
it really, yeah, I really don't like it. It really icks me out. It's so weird. I feel like I'm not all that squeamish, but this really does make me squeamish for some reason.
You're squeamish.
I'm squeamish as fuck. Okay,
You're squeamish if you go to the Halloween Town.
That's true. I wouldn't scream at all, though. I'd be friends with all of them.
Okay. I would too, because but we are not mean. Actually, we are nice.
If your name
town
is Cameron or Kai.
this is Monster Crazy. This is Monster Crazy.
All right.
I don't have anything else to say about these fools other than
Oogie Boogie.
That's basically
we'll
it.
Get back to the hard science next episode, but
yeah, this has been a kind of fried brain episode of Monster Crazy.
And also real quick, I guess the other notable thing is this is another case of a movie that, you know, Tim Burton produced this, but come on, man, you really put your name, Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas, like you drew all the characters but you didn't direct it, pal. You were off doing Batman Returns or whatever the fuck. This is Henry Selick directed this. So fuck you. That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
Do we wanna go ahead and spin the wheel of monster and see what we'll be?
I'd love if we did that.
Investigative journalisming that. Next mm-hmm. week. And maybe it'll actually be next week this time. All right. Are you ready for me to spin?
Yeah. Okay. I think it will be next week this time, by the way. I'm ready.
Maybe I won't be. Maybe I'll go on a sudden vacation.
Yeah, okay.
We won't be back for a few months. All right. I'm going to go ahead and spin the wheel. And here I go. Okay. What's it going to be?
Come on, tell me.
Thunderbird. Ooh, from Folklore.
We got a Folklore one. I love a Folklore one.
Folklore one is fun. We'll be talking about Thunderbirds next week. So tune in.
Tune in. Bye now, everyone.
Bye.
Boys and girls of every age, wouldn't you like to see something strange? Come with us and you will see. This our town of Halloween. This is Halloween. This is Halloween. Pumpkins scream in the dead of night. This is Halloween. Everybody make a scene. Trick or treat.